Happy Sabbath, everybody. First of all, thank you, Melville and Joe, and thank you, Mark. Today's scripture comes from Ezekiel chapter 36, 25, 26. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filth, I will cleanse you from your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit with you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh.
Good morning, everybody. This is new to me. So I want to pray before I start. Father in heaven, I pray and ask that you would be with me and guide my mind, guide my tongue as I present this message. In Jesus' name, amen. Probably looking at the title, Humpty Dumpty. See a lot of people smiling, probably a lot of people laughing, probably some question marks above your head. And hi, Rick. Good to see you. I think it was like 4 or 5 years ago. I parked my truck at a truck stop and decided I was going to write about this because I was kind of experiencing this in my own life. And so I started writing. I only wrote like half a page and it wasn't coming together. So I crumpled the paper up and threw it away and didn't look at it again until a month and a half ago or something. And I was just impressed. I need to visit it again. So I did. And I'm sure all of you have heard about Humpty Dumpty, but if you haven't, it's a nursery rhyme, I guess you could say, that came about during the French Revolution of a character that looked like a egg, and he was sitting up on a brick wall, and then he fell off, ended up in a million pieces. Maybe not quite that many, but and all the king's men and all the king's horses couldn't put them back together again. Maybe they didn't go to the hardware store and buy some Gorilla Glue. I don't know if they had Gorilla Glue back in French Revolution, but they must have had something back there. And there's different versions of it. So how many of you ever dropped something fragile onto the floor and watch it shatter into a lot of pieces? You ever try to put it back together again? I mean, did you get the glue out and tweezers maybe and magnifying glass and try to put it back together? It's impossible. All you can do is sweep it up in a dustpan, throw it away, and get a new one to replace it. In the rhyme, Humpty Dumpty is depicted, already just said that, okay. In Genesis chapter 3, we get a different version of Humpty Dumpty. You had two perfect people just created from the hands of God. And then they were tempted by Satan, and they fell for it. So they fell off the wall and became broken. And since then, we've all become broken in a lot of ways, mentally, spiritually, physically. And under those three, there's probably hundreds, maybe 1,000 different ways you could be broken. If I don't mind picking on you, Rick, you're a counselor. You've probably seen it. A lot of broken lives out there. And it's everywhere. And the reason why Humpty couldn't get put back together because they weren't God. They were human just like us. God's the only one that can put our lives back together. You know, and get us back going again. And we have a lot of examples in the Bible of broken people. And God used broken people to write his message. And his spirit worked through them. And I'm going to pick on just two of them. David and Judas. You know, we know what happened to David and how he had Uriah the Hittite murdered so he could marry his wife. And I'm going to look it up here in Psalm 51. I got my bookmark here. Psalm 51, verses 7 to 12. Let's see. I put that in the wrong place. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. David knew that he was broken because of what he did. And he had a little help from his friend to explain to him why. But he saw that he needed a change of heart, and so he did. He came to the Lord and repented. Judas, on the other hand, I think he knew that he was broken, but he didn't want to be fixed. He wanted everything his own way. And what happened to him? He perished. Committed suicide. Because the guilt was too great, and he didn't want to admit that he was broken and didn't come to Christ to fix him. He saw what Jesus did, but he didn't want to be a part of that. And in 1 Thessalonians 4:14-18, you know, Jesus said he's going to come with a loud shout and a loud trump. And then those that are dead in Christ are going to rise first. And then us that are alive are going to be caught up together. And that's when the final, I guess, healing of our lives will be. And all our broken pieces and parts will be all put back together perfectly. Just as it was before the fall in the Garden of Eden. And that'll be a joyful time. And I just thinking about it just blows my mind because I can't comprehend it. I just can believe what's going to happen, what God says in his word. When I was a young lad back in the 60s, I don't know if Dad remembers this. I'm going to pick on you, Dad. Mike and I got these little cars that you put them together and then you race them really hard up against a wall and they break apart. And then you put it all back together and you do it again and it was fun. But, you know, in real life, that's what Satan does to us when we fall to temptation or, you know, yield to temptation. He's right there and he's going to push us hard up against something hard and watch us fall apart. He's going to laugh at us. And until we come to our senses and then come to God and ask that we be put back together again, only to do it again, over and over. See, when I first was going to write this out in the truck, it was because of what I was feeling in my own life and what I was going through. I just felt like I was broken and there was not a lot of hope. I'm finding out there is hope. Amen. You know? So we need to learn to... how should I say this? Because we're human, but recognize that our faults and not let Satan break us in pieces. Jesus knows how to put us back together because he created us. I'm going to tell you this story about a young man that I met. He was very broken. And I was coming back up from Texas with a load. This was on a Friday. And more often than not, I would go the other way down through Utah, through Cortez, Colorado, and then on down to Albuquerque and then go that way to Texas instead of going across Wyoming. Wyoming's dangerous if you've got a high profile vehicle and a light load in your trailer. You're not going to make it. Anyway, so I was coming back up and I stopped at the Ute Mountain Travel Center. Some of you may be familiar with it. There's a casino there because it's run by the Native Americans. And as often as the case, when I stop for Sabbath, I try to stop someplace where I can get out and go for a walk. Because I don't like sitting in the truck while I'm doing my 34-hour reset, you know, to get my hours back for the next week to run. So this particular time I was out walking, I walked kind of down behind the casino and to my left there was an open field area. I don't know how many acres it was. It was pretty good size. So I walked in there. I went over toward the right, over toward the fence, and I saw someone walking up on the other side on this two-track. And so he stopped, I stopped. We started talking. And during the course of the conversation, he told me that he was on his way out to commit suicide because he'd been in jail. And because of that, he couldn't find a job. His home life was really bad, what he was going through at home. And he just couldn't take it anymore. So we talked for over an hour, and I shared God with him and stuff, and I prayed for him, prayed with him and for him. And after that, he went back to his house and he brought out a box and showed me these Indian artifacts that he was creating with eagle feathers and bones and stuff that he'd found. And so that was pretty cool, but I believe God had me stop there and go for that walk to meet that young man. Because when I'm traveling and it's time to get off the road, I may have two or three choices of where to try to find a place to park for the night. And I'm thinking, well, maybe there. No, not there, over there. But I know God has a hand in where I should park. Because every time I park, I usually have a divine appointment. You know, and I had literature in the truck, and I handed out to other drivers. I prayed for other drivers. Sometimes they'd pray for me. And in the process, I met other Adventist truck drivers out there doing it. But it was, to me, it was a blessing to meet these people. The only way we can be made whole again is by spending time with God in prayer and meditating on His Word daily. And I just started doing this recently thanks to the men's ministry in this church. And we meet every Tuesday morning at 6:45 in John's office. And it's been a blessing. And I try to do that every morning. And if you haven't done it, you should try it. Many people believe that they can fix people, and just like the king's men and horses, they were ill-equipped to put Humpty Dumpty back together. and I know in the medical field, they do the best they can to try and fix people, you know, physically. And I know it's probably more challenging trying to fix someone that's mentally got problems. And spiritually, you know, we really can't fix someone spiritually. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. He just uses us as an instrument to reach these people. But people are trying to fix other broken individuals. You can't do it. It's impossible because they are broken also and don't realize it. Where there is sin, there will be broken people. And it's only on this planet that you'll find that. Nowhere else in the universe. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There's a lot in that verse. I know for me, I'm still trying to find out what it's like to be a new creation, being in Christ. It's not easy because Satan knows what's going on, and he'll throw every stumbling block in your path that he can find. And it's up to you how you deal with that stumbling block. I'm going to give you a challenge. Next time you break something, try to put it back together the same way you had it before. And if you do, you'll probably be in the Guinness Book of World Records for doing it. And I know I wouldn't be able to do it. And I was going to share something out of Steps of Christ I read last night, but I forgot to bring my book. But it was, and I'm not going to try and paraphrase it because I can't remember what it said. You know, but it was, I know, sometimes I think I have a photographic memory. Oh, you have one. Let's see if I can find it in there.
Johnson Rescue.
Thanks, John. Minuteman. Let's see. This paging may be a little different than, okay, let's see, 86, page 86 and page 88. Fill the whole heart with the words of God. They are the living water, quenching your burning thirst. They are the living bread from heaven. Jesus declares, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. And he explains himself by saying, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And so I've been reading Steps of Christ. In the past, I've only gotten like through the first chapter and then quit reading it. But now I think I'm like halfway through the book. And it's been a blessing. I'm learning a lot. And I'm sorry that my little sermon wasn't any longer. But I want to leave you with this this quote. And for those of you who may have known Ralph Martin in the past, very godly man. I loved hearing his sermons. At the end of every sermon, he would quote Ministry of Healing, page 417, paragraph 3. Above the distractions of earth, God sits enthroned. Everything is open to his divine survey, and he orders that which his providence sees best. I know I need a lot in my life because I'm broken. And someday I won't be. And someday we'll all be new people. And I just can't get my mind around that. I really can't. I try sometimes when I do something like this, I try to go deep in my subject, but I can't get very deep. I know in my heart where I'm going with it, but I can't get there. Anyway, so that's what I wanted to say today, and this is my first time up here. And my family told me that I had this, because I know when I was in grade school, every time we had to do an essay or something, we had to stand up front and share it. I got really nervous doing that. And I kind of mumbled through it or whatever. But they assured me that I had this. All right, a closing hymn is hymn number 512 in the hymnal, Adventist hymnal. Okay.
Remember, it's out of the hymnal. It's not going to be up. So let's stand and sing, Just When I Need Him, Jesus is Near. Thank you.
There you go.
Just when I need him, Jesus is near. Just when I falter, just when I fear, ready to help me, ready to cheer.
Just when I need him most.
For closing prayer. Father in heaven, I pray and ask that you would be with us the rest of the Sabbath day and help us to get a blessing and go with us through this next week and give us the strength to be able to do what we need to do each day and help us to remember you in what we do. In Jesus' name, amen.